Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Bowlology Report. I'm Damien Fleming, and today's episode we're going to go through India beating up the Aussies 4-1 in the one-day series. Talk about our middle order woes. Also an update on the Englishman, Ben Stokes. What's the latest on him and who will replace him if he doesn't come out for the Ashes? Some controversy overnight too. The tight-knit keeping fraternity is fractured today. Tasmania's wicketkeeper Ben Dunk did something in a GLT Cup game that has polarised the gloved community. A man with the coolest name in cricket, Manus Labuschagne, the Queensland opening batsman, became a world's first during the week. We'll have the results of our Bowlology Report poll. Also, the segment that makes all cricketers and celebrities nervous around the world, Hodgie's Social Media Self-Promoter Award, and also our guide to sportsmen singing with rock bands and running between the wickets, particularly at club cricket level. Joining me as always, East Sandringham, cricket's finest, Bradley Hodge. Hey, Hodgie. East Sandy are the reigning champs of the South Eastern Cricket Association. The term premiership hangover is a bit of a matter of figure of speech for sporting teams around the world. But are you worried about any East Sandy premiership player seriously still being hungover since March?
Absolutely. I haven't seen a lot of the first 11 team at training of late. I'm not sure if they've been involved in footy finals at all. Our club president, Jamie Ross, he's known to consume.
What did he say after the premiership?
He was excited for sure. So when we won the premiership, I think he consumed around 60 cans on that day.
David Boone-like.
But that was topped, I think, he's a Tiger supporter, and it was topped on the weekend. He's claiming 72 cans.
So he might have just been sobering up from the East Sandy premiership, yep. And now he's got the Richmond AFL premiership on top of that.
Yes, but there's probably a few hangovers still left for me, Sandy Ringan. So hopefully we can dust them off. I haven't seen the guys at training either to run that dustiness out of them. So, you know, get down there this Tuesday and Thursday. We'll have a look, see if you're any good anymore.
I might not get down there. Hey, what about our guide to the week? No premiership hangover for the Australians in white ball cricket. They did win a game between episode 4 and episode 5, but... And I thought, oh, well, a 3-2 loss isn't too bad, but they got absolutely smashed in that fifth one-day international. Rohit Sharma, who just loves batting against the Australians, I think it's his sixth one-day international 100 against us, but just not enough runs batting first again.
No, and we haven't batted well all series, apart from the two openers, Finch and Warner. When Finchie came back in, have probably been the two standouts and the dominant players for Australia, but... Problems in the middle order, problems in the latter order. I thought our bowling's been excellent, actually, to stand up. Again, a little bit of question marks, you know, around our spinning group with Adam Zampa and Ashton Agar getting some opportunities, but probably not having the effect anywhere near what the Indian spinners have had. But 4-1, I thought this series would be really good, but we've unfortunately just been smashed, as you said, and India, give credit to them. They're an excellent cricket side. And they rested two of their guns too after game 3 in Bhuvaneshwar Kumar and Bumrah. They're bankers and they still came up trumps. You know, it's some scary moments.
Well, the worry there is, Hodge, as well, before the tournament, they rested two guns.
Yes, Ravindra
Ashwin and Jadeja.
Yeah, so...
So I don't just think about that then. That's scary what those two players would have done.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the other thing. may have been a cagey move from the Indian selectors to rest those guys to make sure their test status stays strong, because those two guys are huge influence in test cricket. But the guys that came in into the one-day fixture and had some good energy with Chahal bowling his leg spin.
Very good.
Who else was there? Aksar Patel came in to bowl some left-arm orthodox, who's...
did a good job.
Yeah, and can bat, bowl on field. And, the wrist spinner, which we seem to have some trouble with a lot of wrist spinners around the world. We've seen Brad Hogg, who's been dominant in Big Bash League, and also when he played one-day cricket for Australia, was really effective with his wrong-un. So we've got some spin troubles. We've always known that. But how are we improving is a bit...
Well, first off, though, you need a solid start. And once Finchie got back into the team, there's still question marks about Finchie. I said a couple of episodes ago, I like him if we've got a strong batting lineup, because I think he's a genuine match winner. Yeah. And he scores hundreds. And he only played three games. He was our leading run scorer there. And Warner got better as the series went on. So as good as Rohit Sharma and Rahane were, I think we matched it with them opening up. The worries is the middle order. And the concerns for me is, you know, Pandit, the all-rounder from India, 222 runs, yeah, at a strike rate of 108, 12 sixes. Mm. We don't seem to have and probably Stephen Smith, if he's hard on himself, got starts and didn't get big scores, but at least he got some starts. But besides probably Marcus Stoinis, who showed some consistency batting down there, we don't have an accelerator like Panda who can just hit sixes, and we don't have that Michael Bevan accumulator as well, who, although might not find the boundary as much early in his innings, it just keeps rotating the strike.
Yeah, we've got some, we used to call it fast food middle order of the Victorian Bush Rangers there.
So, I like that terminology.
And that might be a little bit where we're at, where 50 over cricket's a long day. It's a long game. There's plenty of opportunities to score. And it's probably more an ability of trusting your technique to score quickly than anything, instead of more of a T20 mentality.
Well, you batted everywhere, Hodgie, through your career. Yeah. And then... you know, obviously your preference is to bat higher because you can make more runs. But what about your mindset when you went into the middle order?
Well,
particularly when you're starting the innings.
It just changes because, you know, if you walk in after Gilchrist and Hayden have just dominated, you feel like you have to continue that domination, which is, it's not possible. There's not many people in the world that can stack up to those guys. And pretty similar to Australia with Warner and Finch at the top. If they have a good day, you know, you're cruising on 6.5 and over, and it's not easy just to come in and do that. And I think probably that's where we lost the art of Michael Clarke averaging 42 in the middle there at number four. We probably forget how important that role actually is after those superstars of,
you know, Mr. Cricket as well. Would you put
Mr.
him in
Cricket
that?
Mr. Cricket as well.
Mike Hussey.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Most people just can't live up to Hayden Gilchrist and Ponting, and you've got to play your own role and play your own game. And Michael actually took it deep into the 40th over. And he didn't have a power game, but he probably didn't need to because, yeah, you know, we still had it there with Mr. Cricket.
So Mr. Cricket's a beauty for me because he could accumulate early,
yeah,
and then accelerate late because he had his hitting zones.
Well, that was just his game plan. Yeah, he never walked into the crease thinking that I'm going to dominate straight away. His mentality was, I'm going to get myself 15 off 20 balls and let's see what happens from there. That was the way he was. When I batted with Mr. Cricket, it was, come on, get yourself going, Hodgie, let's have a running game, or let's put pressure on the outfielders. It was a simple game plan, but it worked. I'm just concerned that these bowlers, these spinners that India had, were just actually too good for our batters. I think
18 wickets at an average 32, economy rate of 5.5 against Australia's 5 wickets at 82, Hodgie, economy rate of 6.5.
Well, that's the difference right there, isn't it? You know, one run and over extra over the course of 30 overs adds up, and no wickets.
No,
we could skill you in one day cricket if you can.
Well, what's it like being in India when you come in and you have to start facing spin? Australians aren't used to that, so that's a great opportunity. I saw some maidens from the Indian spinners, and they rush through them quickly.
Yeah.
And that's the bonus of getting wickets as well. Is it just pressures the new batsman in?
Yeah,
and the set guy can't get on strike.
Yeah, it's a really good point that you make, that the time is a real factor. I know when I first played I got my opportunity over in India as in my first sort of one day series, and that's the one thing which I really struggled with as well, where
I saw that series.
Yeah, I had Harbhajan Singh at one end, who was a gun bowler, and Jadhav at the other end. And I just struggled for time, and I felt really under pressure that, you know, 25 balls are just gone without any sort of scoring opportunities. And looking back on that series, I'd love to have another opportunity to rectify that series. And I think we need to understand that when you first tour to India,
unlike Peter Handscomb and all that, no, who are trying to establish themselves.
Absolutely.
You're trying to keep your spot. But also manufacture a game that works over there.
So maybe they'll be better. Maybe Peter Hansen will be better for it.
Well, I worry whether they play enough, though, because the JLT series is now just condensed into October.
Yes.
By the time we play one day is in late January, February, international ones, you're coming off T20 cricket.
Will East Sandringham have a couple one days around that period? So,
would you be prepared to fill in a couple of Australian players just to get a 50 over game in around that mark?
Yeah, if they want to manipulate the ball around the field, I would have thought that's a good idea.
Hey, we've got a little question on one of the spinners, Gladwin Piers on Instagram. What's your view on the constant changing of trajectory, that was the way it was spelled, in Kedar Jadhav's action?
Yep.
I like it because it's almost bowling at 9 o'clock. Instead of 12 o'clock for the high release, it's 9 o'clock. Got a maiden from Charhale at one end,
yeah,
and then Jadhav's bowling the next over. And it was just like, this is completely different. The Australians didn't know what to quietly do. And it was so slow with no bounce, but with a little bit of turn. Good on him. He's creating something different.
Well done.
Ground arm.
And absolutely, it's taken complete technical stuff out of the game and gone, this is how I'm going to be effective today. It wasn't pretty. It didn't look pretty. But did his job for his captain, and I really liked that. And I think we can actually use that sort of stuff. We've seen it in T20 before. You know, it's a couple of round arms or slower pace or, you know, so you can't get under it. But
sometimes, you know, bowling around where the umpire is.
Mm.
You know, just little things like that. You know, I still don't think the quick's hodgy. I think you need two run-ups, particularly in T20 cricket. You know, your normal one and a really short one. Because if you just bowl off that short one, say, three times for the innings, it's just something different.
Well, you did that a couple of times, and you had a long run-up and then shortened it down. And often you can catch the batsman, you know, off guard. And if he stops you, he'll stop you. But most times you feel rushed and under pressure because we get into our set routine as well. So I like that. I really like that. Something, you know, we should
Monty Python,
at.
Now for something completely different. We rate that. Listen to Monty Python. Hey, now that's the and I thought the Australian quicks were okay. Yeah, I thought Nathan Coulter-Nile enhanced his reputation. Now they're talking to Ashes because who knows if all the guys are fit. Paddy Cummins didn't take as many wickets as he'd want, but his economy rate was outstanding, Paddy.
I did his job.
And Kane Richardson says to me, he reminds me of Jackson Bird a bit in Test match cricket. If the big boys are all available, Birdie and Richo might not get a game. But we know most times not all the big boys are available. Birdie does such a good job in Test match cricket, and I think Richo can do a great job in white ball cricket, 50 over and T20.
I thought
provides was something different, doesn't he? Like the tall in swinger.
It is. It's different.
So people aren't used to that ball getting bounced and jagging in.
No, and Shane Bond was a great exponent of that. We often be taught to, you know, get the outswinger going, but it is different.
Richo, just make it move.
Yeah, Richo,
and he's tall.
Move the ball. Gets good bounce, and it's something different as well. I liked his energy. I thought he came in. He would have been nervous. He hadn't played for a while. Last time he was in India, he played in the IPL, and Brendan McCullum pantsed him over the fence a couple of times.
Got McCullum.
Which can happen
by
one of those legends like that. I thought he did really well. As you said, Cummings was excellent.
Yep.
I would have liked to see
him
rest.
Get him home.
Well, see, I would have liked to see him rest for those 2-1 days, knowing that that's a dead series.
Yeah.
And try and win these T20 series, because I think Cummings is in our best best bowlers to bowl for.
But he's coming home, you know that.
I know he's coming home, but I think that's...
Andrew Tye's popping over there.
Yeah, well, I think Tye should have been there anyway, but yep. I think this is a poor move, I reckon, to have Cummings not playing the T20.
Don't about that. Just win, try and win the T20 series.
Try
I
and
like
win.
That.
Try and win. Let's get some winning. We haven't won for a while. In fact, no. I can't remember the last time we actually won a series.
Pakistan Test Series.
All right. When was that? Last October.
Yeah.
It's a fair while ago.
What was it? December.
And prior to that?
Yeah, you're testing me now.
Can't recall.
Well, our one-day record's poor. We might have won one out of the last 15, so...
Well, we lost the T20 series to Sri Lanka as well in Australia.
In February.
Yep. So I just think this is a really good opportunity to play against the best. They're a really good T20 side, India. And I'd like to see this would be one series where we'd like to target team. To win. And if they want to give some youngsters an opportunity, give them an opportunity down the track. But you know, we need to get back winning.
So Brad Hodges, High Performance Manager of Cricket Australia, full strength team against T20.
Yeah, against India. I would have said, look, take Paddy. The medicine. We've lost 3-0 in one day. It hasn't gone well. Paddy, go home, get a rest.
Come back.
I'll fly you back over. There's a good break now from now to
get
the
Andrew Tye over there early, play 2 1-days, then you're right for the T20s.
Job done.
I like it. The Ashes, Ben Stokes, obviously a lot of controversy. We haven't heard too much more elaborated on with the incident. No doubt the police are working through that, but a lot of conjecture on if he's unavailable for the Ashes series, which you'd think at this stage. Who replaces him? Because he's almost the best player on either team. And he's world-class with bat. His highest test score is 258. His best bowling, 6 for 22. So I was thinking, I don't see a natural replacement. I think they're going to have to pick two players. I think they're going to have to pick a batsman and a bowler. You know, someone like a Plunkett or Wood with the ball.
Well, the only person which Nasser Hussain brought up, actually, which could do a job, and that's Samit Patel.
Well, not just NASA. A few people are saying that. Why?
Well, one, he offers a left-arm orthodox option, which is good in Australia. We know that over...
Which they don't have in the squad at the moment.
They don't have in the squad. So Samit's a very, very... He's developed into a very, very good cricketer. Probably hasn't been selected. Why? Because his mentality is that he's known to be a lazy cricketer. Who cares? He gets a job done. He makes runs.
He just want to win the series.
I think it'd be a good selection. He can bat. He might get you 100 or so. It's a fair call to say that if they don't bring Stokes, they're in a bit of trouble, the Poms. I don't think he can come, actually, from the footage what I saw, regardless of what's been put out there, whether he's helping people or not. It doesn't matter. It was pretty damning and pretty brutal. Having said that, though, we're here to talk about cricket. I don't know who you can replace with Ben Stokes. That is just he's a one-in-a-generation cricketer for England, and I don't think he can be replaced by any cricketer at the moment over there that stands out. There's no one really at all.
No, we'll see what happens here. The England Lions, you know, England A, are coming out to Australia as well, so they might be able to pick some people around that. But what about one of the greats, finally retired from first-class cricket, Kumar Sangakkara, one of the nicest people. Purple to have played cricket. What a lovely batsman. Brian Lara like at his peak. What about his last first-class season in county cricket, though? 1,500 runs, an average of 106, strike rate of 68. So had a tough big bash last year on the benches, but first-class-wise, didn't he cash in at county cricket? What a great player.
I think he retired because he didn't make 1,500. I think he knew
just
that
those nine runs
just wasn't good enough to get 1,500, so it's time for me to hang up the boots. What a gun. What a human being as well. I love Kumar Sangakkara. One of the gentlemen's in cricket.
Yep.
Everyone loves him. He's a hard worker. Just a doyen of making runs. Just unbelievable skill and effort just to be able to just make mountains of runs across
and
his
he kept
time.
As well.
Yeah. And
did you play that? No, you might not have played that. That one where he scored 197 down in Hobart, he was given out by Rudy Coutts and he didn't hit it.
No.
And they were chasing, I can't even remember, 450. They were going to get him. He was going to make 280 himself.
He probably would have got him, for sure. He probably, even though he kept, he's probably in the best 10
batsmen of all time.
Of all time. All time. Unbelievable effort. And what an effort to go over there and play for Surrey. score a mountain of runs for them and just say thanks for your
thanks
time.
Thanks very much.
And I'm a legend, and let's shake
Raise
hands.
Raise his bat 6 times in a row. I think he had 600s in a row. What about that? I tell you, to go from the highs there where there's absolute adulation for Kumar Sangakkara, we had an incident in the JLT series overnight, and that's the 50-over one-day domestic cup in Australia. A very tight-knit fraternity. The wicketkeepers, they're a different breed.
Yeah,
you know, I think as kids, generally as a rule, before Gilly, they were the kids who couldn't bat or bowl. What are you going to do? I want to get a game, I'll keep.
Pick
Because you're always on
the
wicketkeeper. Can't bat, can't bowl, I'll keep. Yeah. So they've been a team of their own for over 250 years, you know, and they sense a bit of love publicly, but we've been out the middle when there's nothing like when an opposition wicketkeeper walks out to bat, your keeper just gets into a frenzy.
Doesn't he?
Don't they?
Yeah.
As soon as they see him, the keeper's intensity lifts. They just want the opposition keeper to fail.
It's like watching a five-year-old smack down a bottle of Gatorade and it just goes
They're in a frenzy.
Nuts. Yeah.
It's like a sugar fix. It's cricket's sugar fix, isn't it? A wicketkeeper walking out, making a duck. The opposition wicketkeeper is in heaven.
Well, we probably had the worst for that, and that was Darren Berry.
Chuck.
So as soon as any other wicketkeeper came out, the mouth guard had come out.
Well, he was frothing in the mouth already.
And just a tirade of abuse, which no one even heard of before came out of Chuck's mouth. And I'll tell you what Darren
was It was a
good
battle
for.
Within a battle, wasn't it?
Darren was good at storing up information that had happened 4 to 5 years ago, or even further. And
just a little whisper in the
just a whisper ear. To talk about a little article that had been put in the newspaper 5 years ago about anything
or a stat you've dropped more catches this year than any other wicketkeeper you know that sort of stuff isn't it but it wasn't Chuck Berry's alone
no
I think
everyone
the fraternity but publicly this is where I'm going publicly they stand up for each other so last night Ben Dunk the Tasmanian wicketkeeper puts the gloves on, puts his wicket-keeping pads on, puts on the floppy hat.
A floppy hat.
And social media went nuts. I think it was Graham Manu, the former South Australian and Australian wicket-keeper, started, you know, is this setting standards? Chris Hartley got involved. Luke Romke, Western Australia, New Zealand. They are, what's next? You know, where do we go from here? So it was just an absolute frenzy. For us, we don't really care that much, but George Bailey had the floppy yellow a couple of years ago. Yeah. I'm sensing young wicketkeepers are going to do the Ben Dunk. I think I like it. I want to see more of it.
No, I'm not sure that's welcome down in
East Sandy.
In the secret competition, though. There's even a level of respect in the secret competition to show respect to the gloveman.
Well, what about Ben Dunk's press release? Because he felt like he had to release something because he was under the pump that much, but... he's gone, despite criticism from my fellow keeper family, I'm going to push on with the floppy hat. And I think this is just the start. I'm going to continue with the floppy hat for the rest of the season. Right. And I'm looking to introduce short sleeves.
Oh, the Adam Parore.
If he keeps in short sleeves a floppy hat, what sort of abuse is he going to get as he walks out?
There's only two that I know, Adam Parore and Sebastian Gotch, that keep in short sleeves.
Well, I remember Gotchy copped a little bit there too, but they don't do the floppy hat as well. It's almost like Dunks wants to be the rebel of the keeping fraternity.
He might be. Is it because he's bald and got pasting sort of greyish white skin?
Well, you say that. Guess what? That was one of the sledges from the keeper. It might have been Tim Ludeman. Join the club. Just get rid of it all.
Yes.
Be a baldie.
Don't hold on to what's there. Just shave it all off.
So that's an interesting one there. So good luck, Dunkey. And, geez, I can't wait to see the short sleeves. Mm. What about, we're talking about the ICC rules changes last week in episode 4, and Queensland Marnus Labuschagne became the first player to be penalised under the fake fielding law.
Yep.
Now, what happens there is... he was fielding at cover. He dived to his right, stood up and mocked a throw, even though the ball come through him. And they were stopped. The umpires had a chat and they've awarded 5 runs to the opposition. It is against the spirit of the game. Law 41.5, deliberate distraction, deception or obstruction of the batsman. Well, the debate is spirit of the game versus gamemanship. And my first instinct looking at that was, you know, I don't mind it. I don't mind the gamemanship of the fake throw.
Well, well done, Marcus Labuschagne, for doing it on cue for us after on last debut. Week's episode. Thank you very much.
What a cool name that is.
Isn't that is that the coolest name in cricket?
I like Moses Henriquez.
Moses Henriquez.
If Moses Henriquez good, was bowling and got a nick for to from Kumar Sangakkara to Marnus Labuschagne at first slip.
That'd be cool.
That'd be almost heaven.
I'll tell you what, James Pattinson does a funny thing. He talks about Shakib Hasan being the fastest name in cricket. So it's Shakib Hasan. The quickest name in cricket. So I think there was a there's a guy that commentates on the test match cricket over there when the Aussies were playing. It's always fast. The quickest name in cricket, but definitely Marcus Labuschagne is the coolest. Going back to the rule changes.
Yeah, for or against?
Is this just an umpire trying to make a name for himself, being the first one to enforce the rule or not?
Actually, I didn't look up. Who was umpiring there? I'll do that research it for the certainly next wasn't, one. Because it will, you know, it'll be a wiki page.
Well, it wouldn't have been Peter Porky Parker because he would never have penalised the Queensland like that. No chance.
He's a big fan of the Bowlology Report, Porky Parker.
But I don't know about this. I think that if you're a fielding unit and you can restrict runs any way possible, I think it's fair play.
Well, as people are saying, what about the keeper who acts as if the ball down the leg side and it goes down to fine leg, but it's in his glove? You just pop out of the crease and he stumps you.
Or the Mahendra Singh Dhoni who pretends to catch it but lets it go and it hits the stumps and you get run out. You're like, mate, you were going to catch it.
Is that in the spirit of the game?
Probably not. I think it's pretty good skill. Okay. And I think this cut off, you know, fielding opportunity is also not in the spirit, but I think it's part of the game where you're trying to stop a team from scoring runs. That's
You're trying to create doubt.
That's the idea. So
okay, thumbs down?
Yeah, thumbs down.
Thumbs down.
Change.
Result, Pakistan and Sri Lanka had an absolute thriller. Sri Lanka beating Pakistan over there in Abu Dhabi, I think it was. Ragana Harath. What a superstar. Left arm orthodox, 6 for 43. He's got 400 test wickets now. So Sri Lanka have copped some hiding. So that's a good win over there. But I was going to go the debate, like four-day test matches is on the cards again. I think England are keen to go down that path. But what would have happened in this test match, as someone put out on Twitter, that it would have been a boring four-day draw, but it ends up a thrilling five-day test match.
Yes.
So I don't know where to go on this because I do like starting on a Thursday and finishing on a Sunday. So the last day is on a public holiday, particularly over, you know, in Australia.
Yep.
You get your crowds, you get your corporates, it's full. But, you know, and I looked the stats up in England this year, seven test matches, only one of them went past 360 overs. So they would have had six results in 4 days. But the worry is, I think, particularly in Australia, is the pitches. Well, I think we'd have a lot of draws.
Yeah, I think so. I think the worry is as well is that...
And the hours of play, you can't... If they're saying get in 100 overs in a day, they can't get 90 overs in a day.
Well, let's just play three-night tests, play them all night. And just have the lights on
24 hours.
Yep. So you start at 2 o'clock, play till midnight.
Batsmen would get timed out. They'd be asleep, wouldn't they?
I think there's room for that.
So do you trial it? Do you play a few of them?
I just don't see too many exciting. Like the 5 day test matches are really exciting, but I'm sure that the game will manufacture ways to make it exciting.
Well, you've got to get the pitches right. That's the bottom line. If you add a bit more grass, you get results in day-night cricket, but then you don't want to kill spinners either.
Or just cut draws out. Can we cut draws out?
Timeless test.
So there's a – well, not timeless test, but is there a way to say that if you don't track the runs down in a certain period, you lose? I don't know. Like,
or do you have a maximum amount of overs you can bat in the first innings?
You've got nine innings. If you don't beat their score, you lose.
Okay.
So I don't know. I don't know where it's going to happen with that. But
I reckon we'll be discussing this a little bit more in the future, Hodgie.
Maybe.
Okay. What about this segment? Makes the all cricketers and celebrities around the world a little bit nervous. You've been nailing people. Four votes for Michael Bevan last week. Who have we got in the votes this week?
Bevo was a standout last week. So the social media self-promoter award, we got four nominations again this week.
Well done, Hodgie.
I found four nominations. And One of them is, unfortunately, I have to do this to David Warner, but posting a photo of himself on Instagram of 100, the 100 that he made on his 100th game. For all those watchers of cricket, we know, David, that you scored 100 on your 100th game. There's no need for you then to you and go self-promote yourself for scoring 100. So well done to you, David. That is a nomination. Kevin Peterson makes a return as well again.
And I feel better for it, yes.
We love Kevin Peterson. He also posted himself getting a private plane to the Dunhill Cup for him to go and play
for golf again.
Yes, for golf again. And he also gets a little nomination as well for a place called Elephant Point, which is his own safari park in South Africa, which he just posted himself being in this safari park, which is being built. Ex-captain Michael Clark gets a nomination as well. And this is Michael. He's obviously got someone to take a photo of himself in the gym while he's working out. And posting
a
quote.
That takes a lot of effort.
So Michael's posted, the older you get, the more important it becomes. And also, don't neglect the legs. Showing himself doing a leg press.
I'm proud to neglect the legs. Yeah. I think it's all about the beach stuff, isn't it?
Well, he lives near the beach. Just get to the beach, Keelers.
I don't think he's got big biceps,
and
has he,
forget
Michael?
About it. But Michael, no need for you to show yourself in the gym, mate. You've been fit for a long time.
To get someone to take a photo, that's
effort.
That's effort.
That's self-promotion at its best. And the other one is our West Indian friend.
Not Dre Russ.
Similar to Dre Russ, they're both DJs. DJ Bravo has made an appearance.
Champion.
And the champion.
Champion.
Is brought out his own brand of clothing called Brand 47 DJ Bravo. So he's just there promoting that brand, holding up.
You're not wearing it? Or,
no.
And what's it?
It's just, it's been held
what
up.
What does it look like, though?
And
is
the Bravo, after he takes a wicket, celebrating with the aeroplane.
Yeah.
So his whole brand.
Borrowed that off Daniel Harford, the Hawthorn AFL player, I believe.
He?
Yeah, big Daniel Harford fan.
I'm happy.
Don't ask him about that because you've probably never heard of him.
I don't know half, but I didn't know he actually celebrated with the airplane. Like, how many wickets did he take? I don't know. I never saw the airplane when he was playing cricket. He played just down here, down the road.
No, he's still playing half. Yeah. He's still playing local cricket.
Well, hopefully we can get a photo of him doing the airplane.
So champion promoting his own fashion line.
Yes. Promoting own fashion line, Michael Clark promoting his quadriceps in a gym, and KP on a private
plane. I'll
go
the golf one for KP.
Yeah.
Mate, if I had to do the votes there, I might go one vote to Dave Warner because I still respect the 100 on the 100th thing. That's fine. That's a cricket one. Two votes, KP.
Yep.
I mean, I could almost have guess that it was golf.
Yes.
But the private plane, that's votes.
Sure.
Three votes. I think champion.
Yes.
Dwayne Bravo.
Yes. And I'm glad you've given the top votes.
And four votes. I'm going to Pup. I'm going to Michael Clark.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, he's always been a fit guy.
Yeah.
But to ask someone to take the photo, I don't like where he's going with the legs.
No.
I think you can neglect the legs. I think it's all about the top half. So votes for actually your strategy's wrong there as well. But but good to see KP. KP's going up the leaderboard. I'll get a tally there. And no doubt it won't be the last we've heard. Can you keep on top of Dwayne Bravo as well?
We will do. And well done to Michael Clark on four votes today.
Next one, what about our guide too? And today it's on the back of the Australian Rules Grand Final, and well done to all the Richmond fans out there and their top forward player, Jack Riewoldt.
Yep.
Extroverted, we love him, Big Jackie. He goes to, this is how confident he is. This is like, and I know in T20 cricket, you used to spend your trainings writing out your man of match speech. You were that confident you're going to get it, Hodgie.
Yeah.
Jack was that confident the Tigers were going to win. The pre-match rock band was the Killers, who absolutely killed it. They were awesome, particularly the cover of The Forgotten Years by Midnight Oil.
Yep.
He has gone to the marketing lady at Richmond. If we win, Can you ask the Killers if I can go up and sing Mr. Brightside?
So he did ask, did he?
He asked.
That is great. Well done.
So, and we've got the audio here.
Brightside with Jack Riewoldt.
And Brandon Flowers is the lead singer introducing him. He sang the words, unbelievable, isn't it, to get up and do that sort of stuff. And I reckon that's the right way to go about it. Go through the right channels, get the okay, and you get the intro. Whereas we had an incident at an Alan Border medal many years ago.
I remember this.
Finishing off with Jimmy Barnes.
Yep.
And he's doing, I can't remember the song. What did he do? Working Class Man or something like that. We've got the audio coming up.
I think it was.
And he's singing with his son, and then all of a sudden, late in the just after the middle chorus, up jumps, unorganised, just off the whim, our opening batsman for Australia, Michael Slater. It was K-San.
Yeah, it was K-San.
It was K-San.
Right. I'm glad that came to
and
you.
And the last train, what's the lyric? Last train out of Sydney is almost gone.
Yes.
Well, the train had just about gone from slats because I reckon the Aussie selectors watched that and it wasn't long later that was the end of Slatsy's career. So the guide is you've got to go the Jack Riewoldt. What? You've got to get it organised.
Yeah.
Brandon Flowers, the lead singer, was happy. He introduced him. You could see, but if you look at the footage on YouTube, Jimmy doesn't know what's going on.
How good from the Killers. What a halo over the top of their heads.
Boom.
Just to be able to accept that and go, we don't know this guy.
No.
We don't even know if he had a good game. No. We don't even understand the sport. Come on, son. Come and bring your premiership medal on
stage.
They
sense the moment.
And let's bang it out. I love that. And Slats, you need to understand, mate, that it doesn't look good when you get up there with half a bottle of red wine spilled down the front of your shirt after a big night, getting it out, belting it out with Jimmy, who's a bit of a legend.
Yeah.
Understand.
And probably I think he had an average summer too, Mick.
Understand.
It's different when, you know, Jack Riewoldt's won the premiership.
Yep.
It's been 37 years. Everyone, it's pure euphoria out there. Whereas AB medal, it's a long night. Everyone just wants to finish so you can go to the bar and have a chat and drink. And Mick gets up there.
Was there another legend that's had an incident? Did Michael Bevan do anything on the singing stage?
No. But closing out the show, we've got Michael Bevan's duet with his lovely daughter just to finish off the
that's
show.
Cool.
Yeah, and I'll let you listen.
I like to listen. There are a few that do have embraced the music world. DJ Bravo does his own stuff.
Champion.
The champion. In fact, during IPL times, he's more excited about doing the gigs down in Bangalore than he is scoring runs in the IPL.
And so he should.
Yep.
Good on him.
Absolutely. He's a superstar and a talent. And also Dre Russ. Dre Russ is also, he's out there with his own stuff. And Chris Gayle's also been one to get there on
very
the
West
stage,
Indian so. Type of thing. Mm. Why couldn't you? What would you go? You're more a hard rocker fan.
Yeah, I'd probably have to get out there and just belt out just a fake air guitar, maybe to AC/DC.
What song did you go out to when you were batting?
Oh, good question. I always liked Green Day.
I went Kickstart My Heart by Motley Crue. I wanted a bit of a pumper.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one.
What'd you go with?
I think it was Green Day. Hitching a Ride, I think that was one of my songs
like
for a while.
I like that.
I've now sort of gone a bit more of a Mozart-y thing, but I think that's just aging.
Also, we got a question here, Hodgie, and I reckon this is for you. Elbows for sale. How do I – and it was on the back of – I didn't quite catch the Sri Lankan batsman that got run out, but the Bangladesh batsman versus South Africa, and I said sarcastically, didn't ground his bat, but he was half a pitch short.
He was.
And this is the guide to running between the wickets at club level. Elbows for sale.
Yeah.
Quote, how do I not rip apart the toe of my bat when sliding on synthetic wickets? Now, I'm assuming he's got that rubber at the toe of his bat?
No, because only Kookaburras have that rubber, and now they don't do it anymore.
So, why?
Well,
was it because of...
I'm not sure.
Was it catching in the synthetic or the matting?
I don't know. Because
you see a lot of it, like they're in the synthetic, and there's always a little bit of a crack in the concrete there. You can be sliding your bat, hit the crack, and all of a sudden you go back the other way, or you drop the bat and get run out. So Have you got any suggestions?
Or if you're not running on the synthetic, you're running on the turf and you get your spats stuck in the turf.
Because normally really that's pretty roughed up, isn't it?
Yeah. This goes against, well done, Elbows for Sale. I'm not sure what Elbows you're selling, but this goes against all the logic of what we teach kids to ground their bat, because I'm absolutely with you. The synthetic does wear your bat out, and I've known that. So,
well, when you're making 200 every time, you'd be wearing it out a fair bit.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of running and tackling, sliding my bat either. But I think you actually have to place the bat over the top of the synthetic onto the concrete.
So that
section
goes against what you tell kids.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
But you've got to save your bat. You're paying $500 or $600 for a bat these days.
Yeah. So, well, the other thing is Elbows for Sale, that if you're needing to slide your bat, you're not really
a caller
between the wickets, yes. So you need to work that out.
So thanks, Hodgie. The guide too, if synthetic batsmen, run faster and place the bat over the crease. Don't ruin your bat by putting it on the synthetic.
No, you'd rather get run out and take your chances next week than ruin your good $700 Kookaburra Ghost.
Club cricket starts this week, and you come up with a great question for the Bowlology Report poll question, which was, with club cricket starting this weekend, and this is particularly in Melbourne club cricket, which horse racing day will have the most cricket absentees? A, you miss the game on Derby Day. B, you miss training on Melbourne Cup Day, the Tuesday. C, miss training on Oaks Day on the Thursday. And the winner with over half the votes was you miss the game.
Yeah.
Derby I'm happy day. To train. You've got to do Derby Day. And I remember years ago rooming with Ian Harvey and Jeff Allardyce, Victorian State players, rain during the week, and you wait for that call. You had to ring a number, didn't you, Saturday morning, Cricket Victoria, and it was a recorded message.
It was Peter Binns' recorded
please,
message.
All players, please turn up to the grounds. Something like that.
And you're like, no!
No! And then you get one, cricket has been cancelled. For the day. Good luck.
Yeehaw!
And that's it. This happened this Derby Day. And seriously, it was about 30 degrees.
Yeah.
So whether at Derby Day, having a great day, but the pitches weren't up. But because remember, for years, we used to play Melbourne Cup Day.
We did.
In district cricket. And I don't reckon it was about the crowds.
No one enjoyed it at all.
No, you'd stop for the race.
Yes, we did. We
stopped for the race.
And that happened in a Shield game, actually.
Okay.
Victoria versus New South Wales. Mark Waugh was at the crease.
On the big screen. Yes.
On the big screen. The game, we all stopped and we watched it. Mark Waugh said, I'm not facing up until we watch this race, which was fair enough, dude. And because Junior loves his horses and he's highly involved with his wife with horses. And we watched this race. Anyway, he went back on. He was on 30 at the time, peeled off 100, walked off. Thanks for coming.
I like it.
Didn't get the winner though, Junior, that day.
But thanks for voting. We've got about 700 votes there too, Hodgie. So good topic. Hey, that's it for episode 5. Good luck this week, East Sandringham. You're starting. The premiership hangover is not there.
It is, because I actually didn't even know we were playing this weekend. I've been to training for the last couple of weeks.
Hey, Hodgie, and make sure we get some likes and reviews on iTunes and SoundCloud.
We want some reviews. We'd love
some
reviews
questions
to see if you like the show or not.
Definitely, and maybe areas to improve. We're ex-cricketers.
We're
used to feedback.
Talking about feedback,
I'll get your feedback next week on the Michael Bevan as he just takes us out, the killer number 6 with the killer voice.
Thanks, Bevo.
Never to touch and never to keep, because you loved it too much and you dive too deep.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.